I joked, I think these are the shortest readings altogether of any weekend. Seemingly small snippets of these scripture passages. As I said at the beginning, my brothers and sisters, this weekend we celebrate the mystery of the Trinity. Very specific words we use in describing the mystery that is our God. We believe in one God, not three, one. One in substance, one in godliness, three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may simply respond, how is this, Father? Good question. Easy answer is, it's mystery, my brothers and sisters. It is mystery. Isn't it easier to say we just have a single God that takes on three different masks, three different personalities, and acts and does different things, sometimes as the Father, sometimes as the Son, sometimes as the Holy Spirit? Well, sure, it's easy to say that, but that's not true. That's not how it is. All of the work of the early church in coming up with this profound vocabulary of Trinitarian understanding is essential to worshiping our God in spirit and in truth, rather than worshiping an idea of God. I've said this before. If you worship your idea of God and not God as He is, we are worshiping ourselves. If I worship an idea of God that I create, well, I think God is this. I might as well get to work and build a statue, make an idol and worship it, because I'm doing the same thing in my mind. So the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of love, is that our God is three in one and one and three. And why is this so important? Because it reveals that interior to God, there is a dynamic of a communion of love, a pouring out of oneself for the other, a receiving of that gift perfectly, and a reciprocation of that love, a return of that love in exactly the way that the love was given. It means that our God is not some stagnant idea or some energy source, but a communion of love. At the very heart of God, there is a dynamic pouring out, a sacrificial love. I've said this over and over again. If we want to know what love is, we have to look at the cross. There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. If there is sacrificial qualities and characteristics of love, for love to be love, then there needs to be sacrificial qualities and characteristics in God. Because God is love. This is why this is important, my brothers and sisters. It is easier to simply categorize God in easy ways, but this trying to put to words the great mystery that is our God is essential so that we understand this dynamic of a communion of love that exists within God Himself. The Father loving the Son, the total gift of Himself pouring out perfectly to the Son receiving this gift of love perfectly, profoundly, and reciprocating that gift in exactly the same way that the Father loves Him, the pouring of Himself out back to the Father, which is then received by the Father, as if they are sharing one breath, almost, and that gift of themselves poured out for the other, received and reciprocated, We know that this profound gift of one to the other is God Himself. I've talked about this before too. And I've talked about a lot of stuff. I've been ordained 17 years. I keep repeating myself. We think about fathers and sons, right? Situations, the teenage boy walks up to dad and says, "Hey dad, guys are going to the movie theater. Can I have some money to go to the movie theater?" Father pulls out the wallet and goes, "Well, I've got this. Here, have fun at the movie theater," right? Our Heavenly Father can't do that with Jesus. Why can't He do that? Because He doesn't have a wallet. All that the Father has to give to the Son is Himself. That's it. In some sense, He is profoundly poor in His options. But the option that He has is perfect. It is Himself. And so this outpouring of self for the other, the receiving of that gift, and the reciprocation of that gift is inside our Trinity. It is inside our God. And what we see in the revelation of God, when Jesus enters into the world, as He has been the Father trying to reveal Himself to His people Israel for centuries, is the opening up of that profound mystery for the world. I will be referring more and more to these murals, because these murals, whether you know it or not, have a very theological significance. And it's playing out in front of us. And you're like, "Ah, I don't know what you're talking about, Father." I know you don't, because it's still formulating in my mind. But it's getting there. When we look over here, and we see Joseph presenting Jesus for the day of His circumcision, the day in which He will receive the holy name Jesus. It is also the day in which Jesus sheds blood for the first time. It's a little embarrassing to talk about circumcision. It's easier to say, "Oh, a presentation at the temple, here He is," you know. But He's being circumcised in this image, my brothers and sisters. It will be the first time His body sheds blood for redemption. The color, bluish green, the outpouring of water, the sense of baptism, that we are invited into this profound gift of redemption by Jesus Christ. He comes into the world to redeem the world, to shed His blood, and to invite others into this profound mystery of forgiveness by the innocent Lamb who is offered for us. We have participated in our baptism, my brothers and sisters. We have participated in the death and the rising of Jesus Christ. Last weekend, we celebrated Pentecost. We celebrated the moment in which church becomes church. The church cannot be church without the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, in His mission to the world, His public ministry, became known to the world when He was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Jordan River. And so the church, too, must receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in order for her to be the bride of Christ, the body of Christ in the world. And so we see here the profound gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church. We confirm the presence of the Holy Spirit in someone from their baptism when we celebrate confirmation. So this outpouring of love, not just as a thing to cover us, or like a sweet anointing of perfume, but for the profound reality of the Holy Spirit deeply penetrating the very depths of our being. What does it mean that the communion of love, the fellowship of God Himself from one to the other, is now poured out upon the church? It seems that there is a deeper mystery, a deeper invitation for us as church. Sometimes as church, we like the aesthetic, and that's probably not the right word, but the sense is like antiseptic, like, okay, God is over there and I'm over here, and like, you know, it's like, oh, He gives me stuff and I like give it back to Him. No, my brothers and sisters, it isn't clean like that. You are drawn into the mystery of God Himself. You cannot remain the same. You step into the profound mystery of His love, you cannot remain the same. So we see baptism symbolized. We see confirmation symbolized. What's left? Three sacraments of initiation in the church: baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist. You know, of those three sacraments, there's only one that's repeatable, and it ain't baptism, and it ain't confirmation. When an adult comes into the church, they are first baptized, then confirmed, and then they receive the Holy Eucharist. It is the one that they continually receive over and over again. It is the one that ends the sacraments of initiation. So the participation in that life, what has taken place in baptism and in confirmation, can now be entered into over and over and over again. When I look at the high altar here in the sanctuary, my brothers and sisters, I see an image, not just what's there now, but what I see. Now, people may kill me, but I see another triptych like this. But I see Jesus upon the cross. I see the good thief. I see the bad thief. I see Mother Mary profoundly at the foot of Jesus at the cross with John and the faithful disciples. But I also see the centurion with his spear opening up the side of Jesus, and from his side pouring out water and blood, blue and red, pouring out from his side onto the world. But what that also does, when the centurion opens up the side of Jesus, it opens up for us a way into the very heart of God. And so baptism and confirmation lead us to the Eucharist. They lead us into the very heart of God. Do you know that every time a Eucharistic miracle is confirmed, you know what Eucharistic miracles are, right? When all of a sudden the profound mystery that is underneath the image of bread and wine is all of a sudden the veil is lifted, and there all of a sudden we see flesh. There are many Eucharistic miracles in the history of the church. You know, every time that flesh is analyzed by scientists, do you know where it's from? It's not from Jesus' rump roast. My brothers and sisters, it's from the inner lining of the human heart. The very depth, the very innermost being of who he is what is given. And so we see the opening up of the side of Christ, that we pass through blood and water in order to enter into the heart of it all. Into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. Jesus says, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. We enter profoundly into the innermost being of Jesus. And there in the innermost being, we participate in this love of the Father for the Son in the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not come into the world to destroy the world. The gospel says to us today, the world is already on a road to destruction. If God does nothing, the world is destroyed, because it does not possess communion with him. Jesus came into the world in order to open up for the world through him. Through him and him alone, a way for us to participate in the very love of God, that the source of all life would be given to us, that we would participate in that. You know, it was a whole semester class in seminary, just on the Trinity. A whole semester class. 3 credit hours. How many hours of lecture? After we exhaust all that the human being can say in human words, in Greek and in Latin and in English and in all of these German words, all of these profound mysteries of who God is, we have this beautiful thing, my brothers and sisters, it's called the Eucharist. And while we exhaust ourselves on the words of human beings to express this mystery, we then are able to enter into this very mystery. Do you understand? The celebration of the Mass and the mystery of the Holy Trinity are one. What, Father? my mind. I know, I blew my own mind last night when I said it. The mystery of the Eucharist and the mystery of the Holy Trinity are one. Why? Why can I say that? Because we who have been baptized, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, stand as the body of Christ, and in the celebration of the Eucharist, the body of Christ turns to the Father and makes a receiving of all that the Father has done in love for us all week long. Over and over and over and over, the love of the Father for you has been a part of your life, whether you received it or not. And be very clear about that. Because a lot of times we qualify God's love, we want to push it away. I'm not lovable, I don't love myself right now. Please don't love me like this, let me fix myself, let me get myself ordered. Paul says it's not you that loved God first so that he would love you. It was God that loved us first. So all week long, God has been pouring out his love to you. You come into the church having received God's love over and over and over again. How are you going to make a reciprocation of that love? How are you going to give that love back to him? The psalmist says, how can I make a return to the Lord for all that the Lord has done for me? The cup of salvation I will raise, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus upon the cross and at the Last Supper opens up for us a mystery so that we might enter in to the receiving of God's love and the giving of ourselves in reciprocation of that love, in imitation of the Father. Jesus models it for us. He opens it up for us. He says, this is what you must do. As you have received from the Father, now you are to give. When I use incense at Mass, I have the server go down the center aisle and incense everybody. I'm like, well, that's weird, Father. Usually they just stand up here and incense him. I want people to know they are being offered. We are all being offered. Everything that God has done for you, all that you are. How much of you is worthy of being given back to God? 10%? It's a good number, right? 15%. Maybe God deserves 15% of you. All that you are, my brothers and sisters, in the celebration of the Eucharist, you give all that you are back to the Father. It's why the bread and the wine being brought up and placed on the altar, the bread and the wine are you and me. And they are profoundly transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, because we are through him and with him and in him, the offering of ourselves to the Father, the giving back of love as he has loved us. That's why this is called the Eucharist, a meal of thanksgiving. This is why it is a sacrifice, because it is you that is through him and with him and in him, with Jesus, in Jesus, through Jesus, being sacrificed and offered to the Father in love. The beautiful thing is, you are sacrificed and yet you live. You are sacrificed and yet you walk out of this church afterwards. So the mystery of the Trinity, the mystery of the Father's love for the Son, the receiving of that love, the reciprocation of that love in a perfect way, and then the receiving of the Father is open for us here in this place. This is why as Catholics, as we approach communion, we know that we have to be conscious, one, about what it is we're receiving, but two, the state of our own soul. Why we have confession in order to renew that gift of grace so that we can more fully give ourselves in this profound gift of love. What we are doing here today, my brothers and sisters, is a prefigurement of eternity. This is a prefigurement of eternity. No, I won't be preaching for eternity. But the complete gift of yourself, having received love, learning how to love and reciprocating that gift of love is what you will be about for eternity. This is who you are. You are made in the image and likeness of love. This is a window opening for us to participate in this great gift. So we talk about the Trinity, we can talk about three divine persons, we can speak about one substance, we can speak about mystery. But every time we celebrate the Mass, my brothers and sisters, we are drawn into the mystery. You participate in this mystery. As you have received, so give. And there is nothing more perfect than the gift of oneself to the Father than what Jesus did upon the cross. And that's why we are in here with him in the offering of ourselves to the Father. So, the mystery of the Trinity. We enter into the very mystery of God himself today in who we are and what we do. And brothers and sisters, be generous in the gift of yourself to him. Well, he surely has been generous.